Turning your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41, and we want to read at verse 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Let's stop reading there and look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you to help us to see the reasons this morning that we can trust your word, because it's true. And it presents to us in every line, every verse, every page, the unified message of the cross of Calvary, of the love of our Savior for sinners such as we are. We pray that you might speak to the hearts of any here who are lost today, to help them to see the lateness of the hour and the peril of their souls to go on in a lost condition. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're continuing our study of the life of Joseph and its parallels and the pictures that it presents of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mr. Creech mentioned a saying Wednesday night in his message that is so true. It takes a number of forms. One is that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Another is the new is in the old contained, the old is in the new explained. And we see the truth of this in the life of Joseph. Joseph, here in the Old Testament, is an extremely detailed picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is revealed in the New Testament. And we've seen those pictures in our previous messages. Joseph, beloved of his father, is sent to his brethren just as the Lord Jesus was. Joseph was rejected by his brethren just as the Lord was. And Joseph, as the Lord Jesus was, is sold for envy by his brethren. Joseph, as was true in the life of the Lord, is put in the place of suffering and death. And from that place, Joseph is raised up by the king, just as the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Last week, we saw the exaltation of Joseph. The king makes Joseph ruler over all the land of Egypt and gives him a name, Zaphnath-Paneah, a name that has several meanings which we mentioned, one of which is Savior of the world, another is Revealer of Secrets, and another is Treasury of the Glorious Rest. And the command to the people of Egypt here was to bow the knee to Joseph. Bow the knee to Zaphnath-Paneah. That's what we see in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, after the Lord Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, the very next verse says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow." Have you bowed your knee in submission and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ? I hope you'll think about that eternally important question in the light of the things that we're going to see this morning. Notice again verse 45. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah, and he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Think about the order in Joseph's life. Rejected by his brethren, sold for envy. He's falsely accused. He's condemned to the place of suffering and death, from which he's brought forth by the king. Then he's exalted. And in his exaltation, he's given a Gentile bride. A Gentile bride. This is the exact order that we see in the life of the Lord Jesus. After his rejection and suffering and death and resurrection and exaltation, the Lord Jesus is given a Gentile bride. And Asenath, the Egyptian. Asenath, the Gentile bride of Joseph, is an Old Testament picture of the church. Concealed here in the Old Testament, revealed in the New Testament. I'd like for you to notice that Asenath occupies a very unique place. She occupies a very unique place here because she shares at the same time two things with Joseph. She is associated with Joseph in two ways, and she's associated with him in those two ways at the same time. First of all, Asenath is associated with Joseph in the place where he was rejected. Egypt is the ultimate end of the rejection of Joseph's brethren. Egypt is the place where Joseph is falsely accused. The place where he's put in the place of death and charged with the guilty. Asenath is associated with Joseph in the place of his rejection. But at the same time, she is associated with Joseph in the place of his exaltation. She's associated with Joseph in the place of his glory. This is exactly the place that the church occupies in this hour. The church, at the same time, is identified with the Lord Jesus in the place of his rejection. I'd like for you to keep your place here, but turn over to John chapter 15. We're going to quickly look at several passages, but I think it's important that we see them, not just for me to read them to you, but for you to see them in your Bible. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 18, the Lord says to his disciples, and he's saying to you and me, if the world hate you, if the world hate you, this world, the place of man's order and man's way, this world system over which Satan is the God, this is the world in which we live, the world that would not have the man Christ Jesus to reign. The world that is the place of the Lord's rejection. That's the world that we're talking about. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Look over a page at John chapter 16 and verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Look over at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy here, and the Spirit of God tells his people today. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. One more, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. In verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. And then Paul says this to us in verse 13. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And so the church, the bride of Christ, is associated with him in the place of his rejection. But at the same time, and this is glorious, the church is associated with the Lord Jesus in his glory. Look back at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand, notice these next words, in the heavenly places. In the heavenly places. The Lord Jesus is highly exalted. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's exalted to the very pinnacle of heaven. He is in his glory. And where is that glory? In the heavenly places. I want you to underscore that word, those words, if not in your Bible, in your mind. Because that's where we are identified with Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. I'm sorry, look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? In heavenly places in Christ. Look at chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Now look at verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In our state in the world, we are identified with the Lord Jesus in the place of his rejection. In our standing in Christ, we are associated with him in the heavenly places. So the church at the same time is associated with both of these places. The place of his rejection, the place of his glory, just as Asenath was with Joseph. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 41 and verse 45. Asenath is a picture of the church here. But that's not all that we see. Notice that there is no mention of Jacob here. There's no mention of Israel, as Jacob's name was changed to. There's no mention of the children of Israel. Joseph's dealings during this 7-year period of plenty are with the Egyptians. His dealings are with the Gentiles. And because of that, I believe this 7 years of plenty is a picture of the church age in which we're living. And notice what Joseph is doing during this 7 years of plenty. Look at the last part of verse 45, the last sentence. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Look at the last part of verse 46. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. That is what the Lord Jesus is doing in the world today. In John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus told his disciples that he would pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth. And then the Lord Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And he did. He did. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, went out from the presence of the king, just as Joseph did here in verse 45 and 46. And the Spirit of Christ came down. And from that moment, he has gone throughout all the land of Egypt. He's gone throughout all the land of this world to convict, to reprove the men and women of this world of sin and of judgment and of righteousness. And he's done that. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And his purpose is to visit the Gentiles. We read those words spoken by James. We looked at them, I guess now it's been several months ago, in our studies in the book of Galatians. But the Lord's purpose, and it was recognized by James and the Jews, is to visit the Gentiles, to take out of them a people for his name. The church. And during these 7 plenteous years, this world, we read there how in verse 47, in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. The land of Egypt knew this unparalleled blessing. And in these 7 plenteous years of the church age, this world has known the plenteous blessing of the riches of the goodness of God, the riches of his forbearance, the riches of his long-suffering. And the result has been that during this church age, the earth has brought forth by handfuls. The Lord Jesus, by his Spirit, moving upon the hearts of men and women and young people, has brought many sons to glory. And what we read about Joseph during the 7 years of plenty in verse 49, and Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. That's true of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world today. In this 7 years of plenty that we're living in, this 7 years of the church age. In Galatians 3, Paul told the Galatians, if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed. And you remember what the Lord told Abraham about his seed. In Genesis 13 and verse 6, the Lord told Abraham, "And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth." So that if a man can number the dust of the earth, can we number the dust of the earth? Not even remotely possible. So that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Folks, the Lord Jesus, through his Spirit, going throughout all the land of this world, in this church age that's spoken to us, represented to us by this 7 years of plenty, has brought forth a great multitude which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. Now look at Genesis chapter 41 and verse 50. "And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came." I want you to notice those words. "Which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, a priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come." There's another parallel. There's another New Testament picture concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that is critical for us to see here. There was a time of famine and dearth and trouble coming upon Egypt. But before that happened, Joseph's children were born. Joseph's children were born before that happened and joined to him before the trouble came. Folks, that's how it's going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and the church. There's a time of trouble coming upon this world, a time of trouble likened to which the world has never seen. A time of famine, a time of dearth. It's the tribulation that, interestingly enough, will last 7 years. But before that happens, the church, those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have been given life by the Lord Jesus, by the miracle of the new birth, those who have been born again by the Spirit of God, those who are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, are going to be gathered, they're going to be joined to Him before the 7 years of tribulation. Just as Joseph's sons were born and joined to him before the 7 years of dearth and famine came. Notice that when Joseph's final child was born, the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come. We see that in verse 52. "The name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land by affliction. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended." when he was gathered to Joseph, when he was born, the 7 years of plenty ended. The 7 years of dearth began to come. Folks, I want you to think about something this morning. When the last child of Jesus Christ is born again, then the 7 years of plenteousness that have been in this world, that have been going on in this world for some 2,000 years. When the last child of Jesus Christ is born again, the day of grace is going to come to an end. And your opportunity to be saved will come to an end. We read about that in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. You're going to be damned because you receive not the love of the truth that you might be saved. You're going to be lost because you had pleasure in unrighteousness. The language here in verse 54 is worth noting. And the 7 years of dearth began to come. I believe the people of Egypt could begin to see the dearth coming. As the 7 years of plenty began to wind down, I believe they could see little things that indicated to them the 7 years of dearth and famine are coming. You and I can see the same thing. The two greatest signs of the Lord's soon return, Israel and the LGBTQ movement, are in full bloom right before us. Iran is on the move. They are recruiting allies, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, to attack Israel. But that's not all. Saudi Arabia's cabinet has approved a memorandum making that country a dialogue partner in the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Who do you think heads that up? China. The Shanghai Cooperation Organization is a political and security and trade alliance that includes China and Russia and India and Pakistan and four other Central Asian nations that I'm not going to attempt to pronounce. But that's not all. China has brokered a deal between Iran and Saudi Arabia. Iran and Saudi Arabia have been bitter enemies. They've brokered this deal to mend their 7-year split. 7 years in which Saudi Arabia was very much drawn to the United States. But now, thanks to China, Iran and Saudi Arabia are reviving a security pact. They're reopening embassies in each other's countries. They're resuming trade. They're resuming investment. They're resuming these cultural exchanges. That is not lost on Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He sees the danger for Israel. He warned the Saudi leadership of the dangers that they face by reviving ties with Iran. Iran, who's aligned with Russia and China. And you know what else he did? Benjamin Netanyahu urged the United States to become more engaged in the Middle East. That's not going to happen. The U.S. is getting weaker and weaker. That's why China is getting stronger and stronger. That's why Iran is getting stronger and stronger and is on the move. The U.S. is getting weaker and weaker. Just exactly as we see in Ezekiel chapter 38, which is on the verge of coming to pass. The LGBTQ movement is firmly entrenched in the government, in the educational system, in the media of this country. I started to say it's instructive. I think it's troubling that federal officials are delaying the release of the female who identified as a male, the transgender who attacked the Christian school in Nashville, Tennessee, and killed 3 children and 3 adults. They're delaying the release of her manifesto. CBS News, just as a side point, CBS News instructed their people not to mention the fact in their reporting of that massacre that this was a transgender person who did it. But they're delaying her manifesto because one local official who has seen it said it would be astronomically dangerous to release it. Is that because it outlines the hatred and violence of the LGBTQ movement against Christians, against Christian churches, against Christian schools? Remember what the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 17. As it was in the days of Lot. What happened in the days of Lot? The men of Sodom, all the people from every quarter, the LGBTQ movement surrounded Lot's house. They surrounded his house. They were going to kill him, by the way, if the angels had not intervened. The Lord Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Folks, the 7 years of dearth, the 7 years of tribulation are beginning to come. We can see them if we'll open our eyes. That's why this question, have you bowed your knee in surrender and submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, is eternally important. It's the most important question you can ever consider. Because your time for doing that is about to end. The 7 years of plenty, the day of grace, the day of the riches, when this earth has brought forth the goodness of God, this brought forth the day of the riches of His forbearance and long suffering, that day is almost over. That's why right now you need to bow your knee to the Lord Jesus. We talked last week how in the name of Zaphnath-Paneah we see the Lord, the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of the world. God sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. And there is no salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus is the revealer of secrets, and one day you're going to stand before Him. You're going to stand in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. In this day of grace, you need to bow your knee to the one who is the treasury, the storehouse, the only source of rest. Come unto me, He said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Right now, before it's too late, right where you are, you need to bow your knee in submission and surrender and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him and Him alone to be your Savior. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for these few verses that you've allowed us to study from your word that have the concealed message of the church that's revealed in the New Testament, that have the concealed message of the work of the Spirit of God in this world that's revealed in the New Testament. What an amazing book this is. And Father, we pray that you would help any here who do not know you to understand that the 7 years of plenty, this church age, is almost ended. And right now, before it's too late, today, if they hear your voice, we pray that they would not harden their hearts. They would surrender to you and trust you as their Savior. Help those of us who are saved to understand that our time for being able to stand for you and be a blessing to you and a testimony for you in this world is coming to a close. And we pray that you would help us to stand and do all to stand as individual believers and as a collective body of believers. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.